Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good Friday morning. Happy holidays from your pals Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Star Wars last night.
Buddy.
You just gave us a little breakdown with the junks. Later today, you're going to give your Danny Ruye movie review.
Yeah, the spoiler-free movie review. I want people to go see it and judge for themselves. There's going to be a faction of people, GPs, we'll talk about throughout, that are determined, and they cannot wait to despise it and rip it apart. And you know, I'm sure they're all experts in filmmaking, etc. But it's really fun, and I enjoyed myself immensely.
I'll start the show with a thank you to Drabby. Because each day this week, right before our show, I go up to Drabby with my tail between my legs, and I say, hey, can I borrow your headphones again? My headphones are in my car, which, as you know, on the way to Tuesday's show,
you got a flat.
Big Bruce Allen special, popped a tire. So I took my car in to get my tire fixed, and it turned out that the rim was bent again.
Mm.
So your boy had to spend several hundred dollars to do that, but then they were supposed to get me a rim, and I've gone a couple days in a row and haven't been able to pick up the car. So I don't have my headphones yet. So Drabby just has to keep giving me his. But you have that feeling of shame when you need something from someone?
I hate it.
And then every single day you go back to the same person and you ask for the same thing?
Can you continue to do me this favor?
So I always feel bad. Now, Drab has never once made me feel bad. He acts like it's not a big deal at all. But I know, and he knows, that it's annoying for him.
Both everybody.
It's annoying for me. So thanks to Drab.
Because you've got to make the ask, and he has to
be inconvenienced all day.
Well, he has to demur. He has to make sure that If in any way he rolls his eyes or sighs or like goes anything like that,
yes,
it's escalated and it's become a thing.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's become a thing. So you force him to be overly generous and overly kind in a situation that he should just be able to go back to his office and have two computers open and not listen to the show.
He deserves a Seahawks win by 20 points this weekend.
Who do they have?
For how kind he's been. I'd have to look that up. I don't know.
No, San Fran's got L.A. They might have Arizona. I feel like it's a fantasy matchup I'm exploiting.
Well, if that's the case,
I think they do.
Then he doesn't need any good karma to polish that off. John Clayton is going to be with us today at 11:30. John Clayton, who forever was on ESPN as the professor, is one of our favorite NFL guests. We will get ready for Week 16 with him today. A lot of things I want to cover with Clayton, but the main question I'll ask him is, you know, he's been a little bit skeptical of Dwayne Haskins this year. Like us, though, he saw the performance he had against Philadelphia, a bit of a coming-out party. Is he coming around on Haskins' growth? Has he seen enough going into next year to feel like maybe the kid's got some potential? But I also want to get his thoughts on who's going to end up being the one seed in the NFC. We got four teams at 11-3 at the top of the conference, including the aforementioned Seahawks.
The queue to be first is crowded in the NFC.
And it's a big deal, man.
Yeah?
If you got to go to Seattle as opposed to them coming to your place for the NFC Championship game, that's huge. But you could be anywhere from the first to probably the fifth seed, depending on if the Vikings beat the Packers. Let's say they win their next two games. If one of those teams stumbles, you could go from the one seed to the five seed and play on the road at, say, Dallas or one of the division winners to open the playoffs, which would be crazy. But it's all jumbled up at the top of the conference right now.
The difference between 1-5 is just so razor thin, you know, or 2-5, just depends on how things shake out. But you're absolutely right about that. I mean, listen, I'd much rather have a bye. This is revolutionary sports talk here, so bear with me. I'm about to drop some real knowledge on you guys. I'd rather have a one seed or two seed and a bye than have to travel to a Mercurial Dallas team. I would. I told you this is going to be deep knowledge right here. We're here in late December, right before Christmas time.
Is that one of those where you start to say it and you're like, this is going to sound worse than I wanted it to?
Well, I knew that I had to couch it, that I had to overinflate it to make
right.
it funny. But there's no, like, I mean, it's obvious. I would not want to go play that Dallas team because they're fully capable of just laying an egg and being awful. They're also capable of beating your brains in, like I saw this past weekend, where they look like the best team in the NFL all of a sudden.
So I got two things for you before we really get going today. The first is I watched an underrated Christmas movie that anytime I do lists like we did with the Junkies where we ranked our favorites this time of year, I always, always sleep on this movie, and it makes me laugh harder than probably any Christmas movie.
Oh.
How familiar are you with Four Christmases, the Vince Vaughn, Reese Witherspoon flick?
I'm very aware of it, and I know that there was a scene in the trailer where somebody gets sick, and then he doesn't like that, and then that makes him almost get sick or something.
Not completely right, but semi.
Which is Vince Vaughn, and he should talk really fast. And right. Somebody threw up, and I'm going to throw up too.
It's one of the most Vince Vaughn movies that's out there, and you know that that is my lane. I love Vince Vaughn. Whereas I think Will Ferrell got old fairly quickly, and I'm a big Will Ferrell guy. I loved all of his early movies. Vince Vaughn, for me, if he was still doing fast talking, double down Trent Vince Vaughn, I would be great with that. But Four Christmases, so you've never seen it?
I feel like I'm going to do that thing that always drives me crazy when people do this. So the answer is no, but I've definitely been in the room when it's on. I've seen parts. So the answer is no, I've not seen it.
Sneaky good Christmas movie. Mm. Give it a look. Let me know what you think. I want to get your rating for it. A
lot of Christmas sweaters in it. I feel like they're very bright.
There's some Christmas sweaters.
Right?
But it's just not talked about enough. That's number one. Number two, this is a sneaky good time of the year kicking off today for sports. Today's that random day where you get out of work and you get home and there's already a college bowl game on. Or if you were to, for whatever reason, you know, stumble into a bar, let's say. Let's say you're going to do some shopping by the mall and you're like, oh, I'm going to go get some food. And you're by yourself because you're doing some shopping for your wife or whatever. You go into the sports bar to have a beer. You look up. There's two bowl games on at all times. Starting today, we basically have that 24-hour straight college basketball thing that happens to kick off the college season where if you're a big college hoops head, there's always a game on.
Yep.
That's college football right
now. We're in that season.
And then it doesn't matter what night of the week, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, there's some weird country for some reason where there's a game being played. There's a weird island where everyone's wearing a weird outfit because they're in that island all of a sudden. College football is on almost constantly. I remember being at a phone store last year buying a phone on this day, and like Duke was playing a noon game, and I was watching Daniel Jones thinking he might be the next Redskins quarterback. Didn't work out that way. He went to the Giants. But don't you think like this week of December through New Year's Day is a really good fortnight of sport?
It gets you into that nitty-gritty with the NFL, right? Because that's the star. But then your little appetizer surrounding it are bowl games to gamble on. You're in your bowl mania, your bowl pick'em with your buddies where you throw, you know, 10 bucks in the pot and whoever gets the most right, or you pick against the spread or whatever. I generally just roll my eyes and mock the 37 different bowls where more than half the teams that play college football are eligible for them just by being 500, which means you scheduled Wofford six times somehow and you end up in a bowl and it's just the biggest crock and sham. But once the games actually start, it's always fun. Where are they playing? Where's this one? This one's in the Bahamas. This one's in Turks and Caicos. This one's in the backyard of some rich oil tycoon. Whatever it is, it's always fun. So it's the filler, it's the in-between, the really meaningful NFL stuff. I'm with you. NBA starts to pick up. Like last night, you had the marquee matchup of the season so far in the NBA. The Lakers have been a dynamo. The Bucks are excellent. I still think the Bucks are going to miss Malcolm Brogdon, by the way, come playoff time, but they're not missing him right now. They're awesome. They beat the Lakers at home last night, despite Anthony Davis being really good. That stuff's fun. It starts to pick up. Hockey, too.
Generic NBA games right now don't do a ton for me, but when you mention the Bucks, anything involving Giannis, I'll watch. He is one of my favorite athletes in sports.
He's
got
so
a
unique.
Great story, and he's great. I mean, he is exceptional at what he does at this point. He's a special player. I'll watch just about anything involving him. If there's a E60 story, if there's a movie that he's starring in, you let me know. I'll watch.
Trying a food for the first time, I'll do it.
And when he gets into these beefs, he's probably a pain in the butt to deal with on the court, I'm guessing. But when he gets into any of these beefs that he's involved in pretty regularly now, I'm always on his side. Like, I just assume, like, Blake Griffin or whoever he's fighting with is a jerk. But he had 34 points and a career-best 5 3-pointers. As they beat Anthony Davis 36-10, LeBron James triple-double, and the Lakers 111-104 in the best two teams in the NBA.
Huge deal, by the way. If he can knock down threes.
Five threes for him.
Just put them in the finals.
He's now added that to his game. Just something that he is doing. Real quick on the NBA. The finalist list came out, the headliners for the 2020 Hall of Fame class. It includes Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Chris Bosh, a combined 13 rings.
That's a pretty good class.
How about going into those dudes?
That's pretty legit right there.
59 All-Star games, 40 All-NBA selections, 3 MVPs, and the 13 championships. So
it's Kobe, Duncan, Garnett.
And then I threw Bosh in as the fourth guy.
So no disrespect to Bosh. I still think he's a Hall of Famer, by the way. And some people might bristle at that. But there's like...
He's going in, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so. Just without really looking. I obviously didn't do any research before you brought that up. I would say he's a Hall of Famer. Just when it flashed in my mind, binary, yes or no, is he in or out? I'd say he's in. But that other three, that's royalty. You know, that's all-time stuff. Bosh, really good player. You know, never the best player in the league. You know, most of the time wasn't the best player on his own team. Was the best player in Toronto before he took off. But, man, those other three guys, franchise, superstar, Hall of Fame, right away.
Next, we wanted to pull up the projected salary cap numbers of Redskins next year to see who we want to get rid of. Who would we move on from to create cap space going into the season to make the head coaching job, the GM jobs, more appetizing for candidates? Because if you come in with a ton of cap space, you could turn things around pretty quickly. You're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The Redskins will be trying to find a head coach and perhaps a general manager this offseason. One way to make their jobs more appetizing would be to create as much cap space as possible and to start rebuilding, which they could do at the beginning of this offseason. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Yesterday, we played the audio of Todd McShay saying that this is the worst of all the jobs in the NFL. So you're trying to make the job look a little bit better. So We decided we would go through the top of the roster where a lot of the players who are paid a lot of money are either not playing for this team right now or haven't had good seasons or don't want to be here. And I think you could pretty easily create a whole lot of cap space. So let's just go through the exercise. If you guys hear something you disagree with, you'd like to comment on, or that maybe you agree with, you'd like to double down on, we got the phones open for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us, as always.
At Funny Danny for me, at Grant H. Paulson, for Grant H. Paulson.
So Alex Smith is on the books for $21.4 million against your cap next year. What a backbreaking and devastating contract that has been. Now, it's nobody's fault, really. His injury was catastrophic, but it is a crippler and a noose around this team's neck at this point. And all the best to he, his family, this holiday season as Absolutely. He continues to recover. He's made an unbelievable recovery already. I don't think he'll play again. But barring him saying that he'll retire and automatically take a job in the front office and somehow you getting out of that money.
An injury settlement or something. I don't know how it would work.
That $21.4 million is staying on your cap because he's going to continue his comeback.
Yeah, wouldn't you? He's got a locker.
Of course
he
would.
He's got great rehab facilities. He's out there. He's a mentor. He's got a very good situation minus the horrific injury that's kept him off the field.
Josh Norman is due $15.5 million next year. He has been benched. He is not playing. He finally got back on the field for the first time in weeks against the Eagles. Ended up being on the wrong end of a touchdown. Decent coverage in the end zone. But they've now signed a couple of scrap heap cornerbacks who they are saying are going to play over him this weekend, supposedly. So you cut Josh Norman. If you want to try to trade him, that's great, too. I don't think anyone will take that contract on. He is due $15.5 million against your cap next year. By cutting him pre-June 1st, that's about a $3 million cap in dead hit. So you're saving $12.5 million. If you wait until after June 1st, basically you get no cap relief. In fact, at that point, post-June 1st, similarly, I guess, it's $12.5 million in savings and $3 million. So it doesn't matter when you do it. You could do it as soon as possible. And you would save $12.5 million in cap space.
In the movie Moneyball, when they're making all the changes because Art Howe won't play the lineup that Peter Brand and Billy Bean want to play. And so they start making moves and making trades, and they send one guy out. And Billy Bean's character, Brad Pitt, says, I want to do this one when it came to Jeremy Giambi. I need to do this one. This is the one that I want to do. We can do it as an office. You and me are cutting people and moving people around. I'm going to take the pink slip to that guy. I cannot wait to be free of Josh Norman.
Yeah, I mean, you go hard with that. You don't like him.
I can't wait. I'm so sick of it.
I like the way he's handled himself. It's not like vitriolic for me, but I will move on. I will thank him for his services. He had a really good first year here and has kind of declined since. But he's out, and I just saved $12.5 million in cap space by doing that.
There you go.
Next is Trent Williams. Trent Williams needs to be traded, period. If you trade him pre or post June 1st, there is no difference. So what would happen is his current cap number for next year is $14.75 million. By trading Trent Williams, you would incur a $2 million dead cap penalty, but you're saving over $12.5 million. 12.75. So we're trading him, correct? Can we agree on that?
Now, they're going to try to trade him and say with some sort of weird court case that he's still got 2 years left on his deal, and they're holding out hope that that's the case. They're going to get less than they should have gotten, which is trade him, you know, I don't know, before the season even started, up to the trade deadline, et cetera. But yes, the instant we can, he's being traded. He is shipped. He is gone. Thank you very much. I'm going to get whatever I can.
Landon Collins is under contract, and his contract explodes next year. He actually was not paid all that much this season in the first year of his deal, that massive contract, but his cap number next year becomes $14.2 million, and you really can't do anything with that. Not that you would want to anyway. You got to keep some good players.
Yeah, I'm keeping Landon Collins. No problem there.
Ryan Kerrigan's interesting. Kerrigan is on your books next year against your cap for almost $12 million, 11.7 per. It's not really a lot for an outside linebacker who puts up productive totals and numbers year in and year out, but he got hurt twice at the end of this season. You could cut Ryan Kerrigan going into the final year of his contract with no penalty at all and essentially save all of that cap if you wanted to pre or post June 1st. I would not. I happen to think that you need to keep some of your core guys, your leaders, your dudes in the locker room and in the weight room that do things the correct way around. So I would keep Ryan Kerrigan and project him to get 10 or 11 sacks next year. But if you wanted to save another $11 million, you could there.
It is certainly an option. And listen, if you start to, and this is the cold, callous, calculating business of the NFL, right? What has Ryan Kerrigan ever done wrong? But sometimes you have to look at our situation. You go, we're probably not going to be competitive just yet. Alex Smith's $21.4 million dead cap hit, whatever you want to call it, it's not a dead cap hit, but you know what I mean, is just sitting there. You can't compete when you're paying someone $21 million to not play for you. It's really, really hard to be any good with that. That's two players, two starters, maybe three, depending. But I'm keeping Kerrigan as well, just given my situation, given where I am. He's the guy that's sort of my torchbearer. He'll eventually pass it on to the next generation of Redskins, right? The guys that are 21, 22, 23, 24 years old. He'll be my elder statesman. That's the shining example of what is possible. This is a good player, a good person who has been here, who's productive. Be like him. I'm keeping him.
Jordan Reed, $10.3 million in cap space. If you cut him, you save $8.5 million. You have about $1.8 in dead money. I am going to get rid of Jordan Reed. I know that's going to be maybe a hot take for people. I think there's a chance he retires, but like Alex Smith, why would he? I mean, why would you retire when you could just stay on the books and keep making money? But he's always hurt. He can't get on the field. The last time he did play, he wasn't really himself. $10 million at that position is too much for a guy who might catch 55 balls for 600 yards if he's healthy for 9 to 10 games. Sorry, I'm moving on from Jordan Reed at this point.
Yeah, he is long gone for me. And again, it sucks. It's the merciless part of this game. All he did was get hurt and play well for me when he did play. I can't do it. I can't have $10 million on the books for a guy that I can't rely on.
So I've now saved. It sounds like we've made the same decision so far. Norman, by trading Trent Williams and by getting rid of Jordan Reed as well, we're at $33.75 million in cap savings. Morgan Moses is on the books for $8.65 million against the cap. I'm keeping him as my starting right tackle. Paul Richardson, $8.5 million. Now, here's the issue with Paul Richardson.
This is the kicker.
Paul Richardson, that's a lot of dead cap if you want to move on from the speedy wide receiver.
Because intuitively, you go, yeah, I can't wait to get rid of that guy. But then you see this dead cap number and go, oh.
But here's the difference. He is the perfect candidate, in my opinion, for the post-June 1st designation. Because if you were to cut him pre-June 1st, you have $6 million in dead money. Mm-hmm. If you do it post-June 1st, it's only $2 million.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
So at that point, you save $6.5 million. I am doing that. I'll move on from Paul Richardson.
Yep, that is a plan.
So now we are up to $40 million in cap savings. All of a sudden, you got $40 million to spend.
And you already had about $47 million team cap space projected for next year as it was.
After that, you got Ioannidis, $6 million. You're keeping him. Dunbar, $4.5 million. You're keeping him. Payne and Allen, right around $4 million. You're keeping them. And then you get into Hopkins and Haskins and AP. And before you know it, you're down to rookie contracts and guys making around $1 million. But just with veterans who haven't helped you much lately, if at all.
Either hate you or aren't playing for you or aren't productive.
You just saved yourself $40 million against next year's cap.
That ain't bad.
All of a sudden, this gig looks up a little bit if I'm a general manager coming in here, where I do have a first-round pick, where if part of what we just did was trade Trent Williams, you're getting either another first or fill in that second-round spot that you don't have right now. Do you guys disagree with any of the moves that we just made? That's the question. 800-636-1067. Also answer this. What would be your number one priority with all that money in free agency? We'll give you our thoughts on that next on Grant and Danny at 10:45, our top five NFL games of Week 16. December 20th, we're getting closer to the big day that Danny loves so much, Christmas. He has Christmas spirit, we all know. You're a Christmas angel, after all, Danny. You know what today was in 1921? Almost 100 years ago to the day.
1921. No.
98 years ago today.
What is it?
Major League Baseball voted to revert to a best of seven World Series.
Instead of the best of nine.
After three seasons of using the best of nine
That's
format.
That's right.
World Series best of seven ever since. So the Nats wouldn't have finished off the Astros in game seven.
Still had another game to go.
Had they have not made that change.
I remember that with the my senior year in high school, I did a thesis on the 1919 Black Sox scandal.
Okay.
So I remember that it was the best of nine. And I remember being like, what? This must be. I kept thinking every book I was reading was wrong.
Right.
You know?
First World Series in 1903 was the best of nine. And in 1919, MLB decided to bring it back. Thanks to attendance dips and travel logistics, the experiment lasted only 3 years. 1920. Player manager Tris Speaker and the Cleveland Indians beat the Brooklyn Robins 5-2. Do you still have the Brooklyn Robins season ticket package?
Yeah, from the starting lineup of like Nails McGuffin and Snots McGee and all those guys. Great nicknames on
good
that team.
Nugget from my friend over at Axios.
That is good.
So there you go.
Delicious nugget and barbecue.
G&D on the fan. What would be your number one priority in free agency for the Redskins? We just created $40 million in cap space by making a few changes at the top of the roster with some of the guys who, honestly, you wouldn't miss because they didn't help this team this season. 800-636-1067. Clearly, they have a first-round pick that will be in the top five and possibly could turn into multiple picks in the first two rounds or three picks in the first three rounds, depending on how many times they trade down. But what would be your number one priority in free agency from a positional standpoint?
1201. I can make my first phone call. Ring, ring, hello, tight end's agent. Give me a tight end that can both block and catch passes.
It is crazy how the Redskins this year both spent more money at the tight end position than any team and probably have the best tight end group on paper coming into the year that they've had in a long time, they thought. And yet, they had the worst tight end production maybe in the sport. That's what happens when Jordan Reed gets hurt and Vernon Davis gets hurt. You and I both screamed into a megaphone from on top of a mountain that continuing to pay Vernon Davis as much as they were at his age was a grave mistake. But they did it anyway, and unfortunately he got concussed. What a disaster that position's been for them.
And so I if you have a Jordan Reed, if you've got a guy, a healthy version of Jordan Reed, a guy that, Travis Kelce, a playmaker in space, a guy that's more big-bodied wide receiver than he is a blocking tight end, we can exploit that, we can use that, we can do that. I'm over the... Okay, when Jordan's in, it's a pass. Okay, Sprinkle's in, it's a run. And end of that. I want an end to those days. I want a tight end that can do both things. You don't have to be a world beater. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be the greatest blocking tight end ever, the greatest receiver ever. It's going to be a free agent market that I think is friendly for tight ends. Guys like Austin Hooper will be free agents. Eric Ebron, who's hurt all the time, but I think you can get him on the cheap. There are enough names where I think you can go get somebody that fits that bill.
If you want to stay in the hurt all the time category, high upside tight ends, Hunter Henry will be a free agent this year from the LA Chargers.
He just sprained his ankle when you said his name.
I'm not signing him, but I would love Hooper. I'd be perfectly cool with Ebron. I'm also drafting a guy maybe in the third round. Here's what's difficult, though. If you draft a wideout, say Jerry Jeudy in the early first, or if you were to trade down and draft a wide receiver later in the first round, it's tough for me to pull the Malcolm Kelly, Devin Thomas,
Fred Davis bit.
Fred Davis, where you just draft a bunch of pass catchers. Mm-hmm. But help Dwayne Haskins. Yeah. You're trying to make him right.
You need offensive weapons. You need them desperately.
And you don't have enough of them. So if you want to draft a wideout in the first and a left tackle with whatever pick you get in the second for trading down from 3 to, say, 14 or something, and then you draft a tight end in the third, even though you haven't done anything to help your defense, your personnel on that side of the ball is better than what you actually get out of that group. So maybe with a defensive coordinator upgrade and some tweaked coaching, maybe you're better off there. I'm going to prioritize something different in free agency, though. And again, the question is, what would be the first thing you'd want the Redskins to do or position you'd want them to seek out? 800-636-1067. I like the idea of drafting a left tackle. I think you can find those guys on the cheap. It's such an expensive position. And normally, when you get a slam dunk at that position in the first round, those guys hit. Look at how the Redskins have done. Trent Williams.
It's the one spot
Chris
where they
Samuels.
Have been blessed.
I think for whatever reason, I'm not sure why this is, it seems like the easiest spot to get right in the first round, too. Like, there just aren't that many, like, Robert Galleries that get kicked inside.
Non-Eric Flowers division. You can always find the exception, but I think you're right in general. It's a good shooting percentage on those guys, anecdotally.
There aren't huge busts. Even a guy like Brandon Scherff, who they drafted as a right tackle and immediately moved to right guard. Whoops, we got a Pro Bowler every year at right guard. Right. And everyone knew he wasn't a left tackle. Generally, when you see those feet and the athleticism at left tackle, you draft that guy. They stick there. They play well for a long time. So I'll go left tackle in the draft, which means I'll go free agency wide receiver, perhaps. Now, I've already got the kid, Terry McLaurin. I don't need another kid that I need to develop and get a bunch of touches for. So that means I go out and I try to sign a wide receiver. The wide receiver market is not great, but there I basically need a co-number one or a number two, someone in that kind of $10 million range that I refuse to pay Jamison Crowder.
And that's what influenced me in not selecting wide receiver, because that would have been my first guess. But I don't – now, who knows what's going to happen with cuts and different guys are going to be available that you don't think. But
it's going to be a better class. And also, like
– I don't love the market for that.
Emmanuel Sanders is available. Like, you telling me you wouldn't be excited if Emmanuel Sanders came to Washington?
No, I would be.
There are a slew of names if you run through them where you go, oh, that guy's pretty good. A.J. Green, if he doesn't get a franchise tag, you could get on a 2 or 3 year contract. Amari Cooper, as of right now, what was slotted to be a free agent this year and was going to headline that class before this season started and Dallas sat down at the table with him. But I just think you could run through it, and whether it's speed guys like Philip Dorsett or Ted Ginn, you could bring in on a 2 year contract that are weapons. More possession-type threats like Emmanuel Sanders, red zone guys like Kendrick Bourne from San Francisco. I think that the list is better maybe than we think when you start to dig into it.
I don't hate that opinion. I mean, just my initial swath of sort of looking at what would be the class. Cooper obviously is the headliner there, but you're right about Sanders. I mean, you could go with, you know, one of those upside guys like a DeMarcus Robinson. Remember, he was everybody's fantasy ad for 2 weeks in Kansas City while Tyreek Hill was hurt. Somebody like that. That to me, the guy that you need opposite McLaurin, who I think is, you know, if you're thinking about the like a Madden rating style, is pretty good in everything, right? I want opposite him the DeSean Jackson. I want opposite him the threat. I want the take a hitch and go to the house type guy, or the guy that gets behind the defense. I want a speed merchant there opposite him to open everything up for McLaurin and then my would-be tight end.
You know who's going to be available this offseason is Ryan Grant. They could bring him back.
Mr. Illegal Procedure. Mr. Lined Up Incorrectly.
Top 5 NFL games of Week 16 next on Grant and Danny right here on The Fan. Brie Larson filled in for Jimmy Kimmel last night, hosting the show. Seen a lot of talk and chatter about that.
People are talking about it, I guess.
You get to go to a late night show for one taping. You're walking in a couple minutes before, sitting down, watching the show, walking out. There's one celebrity on that night that's going to be interviewed for 25 minutes.
Oh, my God. Okay.
For like a multi-segment interview. And, bonus, as they're leaving, they're going to like walk up the steps and out the back door, and they're going to shake your hand on the way. What one celebrity do you want to be the person being interviewed and shaking your hand
Holy
that night?
How? Great question by you.
Thank you.
You know what I'm going to go with? Because it's timely. Eddie Murphy for me.
You're in such a recency effect mode
with
100%, Eddie Murphy.
But that's what just jumped into my mind. So your first instinct is correct. It's like a certain percentage of the time. I don't know. I don't remember that. Whatever the number is. But that's what I went with. Eddie Murphy. I think it'd be fun. I want extended time with Eddie Murphy. I just want Eddie Murphy talking, right?
I'm going Denzel Washington.
Okay.
That's my guy.
Yeah, it is.
I really want to meet Denzel. That would be probably the best celebrity interaction I've ever had if I met Denzel.
What if he wasn't, how do I say this right away? You know what, because when he acts in movies, he has degrees of Denzel that he's going to do. Like when he just turns up the Denzel to the max. Like
so
Training
what if he's
Day's
at
maximum
zero Denzel.
What if he's just not like that? What if he's like,
I'd be perfectly fine.
It's nice to meet you. Just like not dynamic at all.
As long as he was like pleasant and engaging.
Right.
If he didn't have energy, he wasn't Denzel, no problem. If he was a jerk, that would be heartbreaking. They always say, like, don't meet your heroes, you
know?
But yeah, as long as he was nice, I'd be cool with that. All right, let's rank our top five NFL games of the weekend. Week 16 gets started with three games on Saturday. Your number one best NFL game of the weekend is
Monday Night Foosball. Give me Green Bay. Give me Minnesota. Who's going to win the NFC North Division? Who's going to do it? Minnesota's favorite, and I don't know why. I want to see why they're favored. What don't I know? Which running back's going to carry the mail for the Minnesota organization? Both receivers are healthy. Green Bay has been good all season long. They've done just enough. I still think this ends up as a shootout. Green Bay's going to prove to the world that they can run up and down and score with you if the game calls for it. I can't wait for that Monday matchup. That's my one seed.
My best game of the weekend slate in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots. I want to turn the clocks back and watch a 17-14 slobber knocker, and I'm going to get it in Foxborough. I don't think either of these offenses does anything clinical. I don't think we see a lot of big plays. But I like the athleticism of Josh Allen to extend a few things and maybe get some completions down the field to hang with the Patriots. What if Buffalo beats New England? I keep asking this.
What if?
Then they're both 11-4. Then the Patriots are at risk of not winning the division going into Week 17. Then they've been caught for the first time in a long time. It would be one of the biggest stories in sports if Buffalo can knock off New England. For that reason, it's number one. I'll put Packers-Vikings number two. A lot of storylines here, but most notably, it would be really cool if Kirk Cousins, without Dalvin Cook and perhaps without Dalvin Cook's backup, maybe the top two running backs on a run-heavy team weren't able to go, with Adam Thielen still coming back to full speed and Stephon Diggs is kind of the one great weapon in that offense with Kyle Rudolph. If Kirk Cousins could lead them to a win on Monday Night Football in the division against 11-3 Green Bay, I'd say it'd be a signature win. But only really be a signature win for a couple of hours until the next time he had to play a game, and then he needs another one because he's won a bunch of big games in prime time against good teams and people pretend like it's never happened. But I want that for him. It'd be a cool storyline if he, with a pass-heavy attack, beat Green Bay on Monday Night Football. So that'll be my number two game.
All we did was HGTV's flip or flop the first two games. Buffalo, New England is my number two. The only reason it's not number one is I expect 11 points to be scored total. I'm sure the weather will be bad even if the forecast doesn't say so. I hate boring defensive football. I do. I like a mix. I like a little back and forth. I like some good offense, good defense, and everything else. These are two great defenses and a couple inept offenses. Number three for me, another divisional game. This is a huge one. San Francisco and the Rams. This is a get-right game for San Francisco. The Rams are barely alive. They're still on the operating table like Doctor Strange, and he's looking down with his soul trying to explain what to do to bring him back to life after a knife wound. I know that was a very obscure reference, but bear with me.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's a good movie. The Rams need it. San Francisco could use it, right? San Francisco's in the playoffs. You know they're going to be good. They could be the one seed. They could be the five seed. They could have to travel, or they could have a bye week. What are you going to be, San Francisco? Are you going to be a 500 team down the stretch, or are you going to be the team that we saw the first half of the season kicking everybody's tuchus?
I'm really surprised that you have not said this game yet. This is what I would call the Danny Ruye special.
What?
And here's what you're doing on this game.
Hey, Danny, wake up, buddy.
What is it, Christmas yet? What's going on?
It's the classic juxtaposition of the elite offense and the team built on defense. Saints, Titans, 11-3 New Orleans, 8-6 Tennessee. Titans have to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. Second time in as many weeks, New Orleans is playing an AFC South opponent that must win. They shredded the Colts. Now, this is on the road, very different than playing in the Superdome. But you and I both talk about this all the time. We love when two styles that are completely opposed meet in one matchup and we see who can dictate. It's like two boxers. One guy wants to jab all day, keeping his distance. The other one wants to get in there and have a slugfest. Saints, Titans. I can't wait to see what style this game takes on. I'm picking the Saints because I think they can win out Tennessee because they can ground and pound you and they can play physical defense too. That's why I love this Saints team, and I think they'll make a deep playoff run. But that is my number three game of the weekend. Number four, I'm going to go with the Rams and the 49ers. You just talked about it in San Francisco. I think Kyle Shanahan's 49ers are head and shoulders better than Sean McVay's Rams right now, as evidenced by the fact that they're three games better in the standings, and I think they'll prove it. My guess is they win going away. This is LA's kind of last breath. They need a great game from Jared Goff, and I don't think they're going to get it.
Number four for me, the battle of the NFC East, or should I say NFC least. It's going to be gross. But I'm intrigued. Who wins this crappy division? Dallas or Philadelphia? It's basically a championship game. It's you get a Week 17 Redskins, Cowboys, Griffin against Romo type environment. This is a massive game for the legacy of Carson Wentz, who has never won a playoff game, never been to the playoffs. He's been underwhelming at times this year. Went, I think, multiple weeks. I think it was like 10 weeks without throwing a multiple touchdown passing performance. Underwhelming season for him. Dallas has been Rick Curl. They've been up and down. Latest, we saw Dallas. They were kicking the Rams' butt all over the field. Dallas, Philadelphia, 425 on Sunday, my fourth most important and impactful and interesting game of the week.
Number five for me is the NFC East 7-7 fest. Dallas is going to win this game. If Philly somehow scores more points, I'll be shocked. I saw the Eagles last weekend like everyone else did. They're not any good. I watched the Cowboys in that game. That's what it's supposed to look like. I believe they are back. I think they found what was missing. I don't think they're going to win a playoff game. If they play Minnesota or San Francisco, they will lose to either of those two teams, even in Dallas. But the Cowboys are just better than the Eagles. I don't even know that it's that close. I think it's a 17-point game this weekend.
Number five, New Orleans, Tennessee. You mentioned it. I think you're right about it. It's intriguing. I'm doing the thing to Tennessee that I did to San Francisco earlier on this season. I fully acknowledge that. They've got enough data points. They've got enough accumulated where I need to take them seriously. They lost a heartbreaker to Houston on a fluke play in the first half. Otherwise, it was back and forth, and they'd be in the driver's seat of that division with still one more game against Houston, I believe, to close out this season. But Tennessee's got to have it. New Orleans is excellent. I don't respect Tennessee enough. That's my fault. That's my issue. It's a Tannehill thing. It's a Derrick Henry thing. It's a Mike Vrabel and his mustache thing. It's my fault. I'm the one who's wrong here. But they're number five on my list because I think anytime you have a team that's desperate like they are and the New Orleans Saints who are really good looking for a bye week in the first round of the postseason, that's an intriguing matchup.
35 minutes from now on Grant and Danny, the great John Clayton will join us to get us ready for football this weekend. Next, at the top of the hour, we know that you guys want major changes in the Redskins front office. You have made that clear. But what if Bruce Allen was not out and instead just got reassigned to being basically a stadium getter? What if his new role was strictly on the stadium project and he was not a part of the football operation anymore? Would that be good enough for you as a change if the Redskins went and got a general manager rather than actually completely ripping off the Band-Aid and moving on from Bruce Allen? That's next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Tidbit Ford, people, it's Built for the Holidays. The Built for the Holidays sales event is happening right meow at Tidbit Ford in Fairfax and Chantilly. Estimated savings, I don't know. How about this number? 20% off select Ford models. Earn complimentary maintenance through Ford Pass Rewards. It's a whole wonderful system. It's a great thing. Terrific, terrific thing. Go see my guys at Tidbit Ford. Here's what's going to happen. They'll take great care of you, as they have for me three different times over. That's right. Three-time Tedbert customer, right, y'all? I love these guys. They're so good at what they do, and they've been doing it for 60 years. Oh, didn't I mention that? 60 years in business. So, a couple things that are happening. This is on the Tom Daley, all right? What you get is Tedbert for life. That's confidence for life, powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life, 120% of your Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. All that stuff is on the Daley, okay? Now they're going to add in, you don't pay them anything for 60 days. That's 60 days you don't pay them squadoosh, nothing. Then, on top of all that, this isn't even like your cherry on top. It's like a sea of cherries and nuts if you're not allergic, right on top of your delicious sundae, okay? $17,400 below MSRP on an F-150 truck. You can get $10,800 off a 2019 Ford Ranger. How about $9,800 off of a 2020 Ford Explorer? The point is, great deals, great people, great guys. Happy holidays to Tedbert Ford. Go see him and tell him anything. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.